It's the Mad
Money
Machine. Show number 13.
That's right. It's the first ever a cappella recap show of the Mad Money Machine. I'm going to go over some things that I've already talked about to catch you new listeners up and to remind you faithful listeners what we've been talking about here on the Mad Money Machine. And a cappella means I'm not going to play any music this show. You just get to hear the sound of my voice, with the exception at the end. I've got a special treat coming up at the end of this show for all of you folks that have voted for Tools in the Crib as being your favorite segment. I'm going to play the entire uncut, unedited version of Theory in Motion's Money for your listening pleasure. That's coming up at the end of the show. Let's take care of some business here at the beginning. First thing is, I asked for you to send me some of your audio promos, something that goes along the lines of, "Hi, my name is Paul, and I listen to the Mad Money Machine." I haven't gotten any. Disappointed. I want you to do that for me. You can call on the phone number, the phone number being 20 MP3 for iPod, or you can use Skype at Mad Money Machine, or just record it and email it to me, and I want to use that as a promo. I've got the contest going on. Win a Red Kramer Bull. All you need to do is go out to themadmoneymachine.com, click the register button there under the picture of the bull. That gives you access into the madmoneymachine.com website for free. You won't be spammed by me. It just allows you to make comments on postings. But, even more importantly, it registers you to win the highly coveted Mad Money Bull that you see Jim Cramer biting the heads off of every week, every day. Also an announcement coming up Tuesday, March 14th. You'll want to tune in to Mad Money at 6 or 9 or 12 on CNBC to watch the first anniversary special celebration. I know I've been there all along. I have never missed a Mad Money show, and I'll be looking forward. I hope it's more than just a recap because, hey, I've seen them all. I don't want to see reruns of the show. Here's a tech tip. If you're not listening to the Mad Money Machine, which is sort of a catch-22, I guess. But if you're not listening to this show, why not save yourself the bandwidth and the hard drive space by going into iTunes, clicking on the name of the show, and then at the bottom right corner of the webpage, or the iTunes, rather, click unsubscribe. That will remove iTunes from checking all the time to see if there's a new version of the show out there. And it will not download new shows. If you're listening to this show, then I've got a secret. And that's the madmoneymachine.com secret page. madmoneymachine.com/secret. There's no link to it anywhere. The only way anyone knows about this is by listening to this show and then typing that into your browser's address bar. This show 13 is a special show for you new listeners. It is different than most shows in that we don't have any particular segments that I'm going to do. So if you're a first-time listener to the Mad Money Machine, you really need to go back and listen to maybe show 12 or even the Groundhog Day special or the golf show 11 to get a flavor for what the Mad Money Machine is all about. Well, the Cramer portfolio, let's take a look at that. As the portfolio smackdown, as of Wednesday, March 8th's closing prices, the Jim Cramer portfolio stood at a 3.9% gain since the beginning of this year. The ETF portfolio stood at a 4.7% gain. And so I wanted to take a look at this and see what would have happened to the Cramer portfolio if we had not made any of the trades that I've made in the portfolio since the beginning of this year. What if instead we would have done just a buy and hold strategy? If you remember what the top, what the 10 stocks that we bought there were, Boda Random Cellulose, N Global, Altria, Bank Columbia, Cynosure, Sara Lee, Cummins, Seagate, GameStop, and Talisman. Well, I went back into the spreadsheet. I put those stocks back in. And as of Wednesday's closing prices, the Cramer portfolio would have had a gain of 9.5%. So making all of those trades has definitely hurt the performance of the Cramer portfolio. The problem with running a Cramer portfolio like this is once we buy the stocks he recommends, we're done, kind of. We wait. We watch. We have to watch them move up or down. It's kind of boring. So we trade. And the ones that gain, we take the gain. And then we try to pick others that will have even more gains. And I guess that's where we've gone wrong. What I am definitely trying to do is pick the stocks that Jim Cramer has put a lot of emphasis on in those various categories. But it just hasn't worked out for us so far. Hopefully, we are reaching a bottom in the market and things will turn around. And the Cramer portfolio can take off once again. You know, as we looked at a couple of shows ago, the Cramer portfolio is more volatile, meaning it'll move faster than the exchange-traded funds portfolio. So when things do finally get moving again, we can expect it to move higher and faster. Here's a question for you. What exchange-traded funds has Jim Cramer recommended that we buy? Boy, that's something you don't hear him talk about a lot, is it? Exchange-traded funds. He likes to pick the stocks. But believe it or not, I can think of two exchange-traded funds that he has, in fact, recommended. The first one was back fall of last year, I believe, and that was the Japan ETF. Japan fund went by the ticker symbol EWJ. And the second one he mentioned a little bit more recently, on December 8th of last year, that is the PowerShares Water Resources. It's a new ETF that came out. He said it's a brilliant way to play the water shortage. Ticker symbol for that is PHO. I do own some shares in both of those. And that is the extent of the ETFs that I think I've heard Jim mention. Of course, I've heard him talk about one mutual fund. And do you know which one it is? If you haven't read his book or listening, it's the Fidelity Contra Fund. He says the excellent management by Will Danoff is what makes that fund stand out. Well, a dozen shows means about a dozen tools in the crib. Let's try to put it all together and make sense of all these tools. What do we need to do to make our investments grow? First thing is, how much money do you need? The tool in the crib from show number 6 was the number 4. 4% is how much you can spend from your investment portfolio every year and have an extremely high chance of never running out of money. Well, let's look at it the other way around. Let's figure out how much money do you need in a year. Let's just pick a round number. You need $100,000 a year to pay for your mortgage, pay your taxes, pay for off your cars, pay for your food, and all that. Well, you multiply that number by 25. That's how much money you need. Works out to be $2.5 million. You have $2.5 million invested, and that means that if you invested properly in the stock market, and that's what I'll get to in a minute, that you'll never run out of money. And so part of the question is, well, how long, you know, you do some retirement planning, and a lot of the software asks you, how long are you going to live? Well, if we go by this rule of 4%, it doesn't matter, because if you never run out of money, you never run out of money. You keep spending it for every year and however long you live. You know, a lot of financial planners are now advising people to plan until they're 100 years old. And there are some books out on the market talking about things like the calorie restriction optimal nutrition diet that claim to extend your life to 120 years. So imagine telling the financial planner that you're going to live to be 120. It's better just to plan on never running out of money. Second basic category of tools is pay attention. On one show, I asked you, which way will you make more money, by working or by investing? For many people, the answer is actually going to be that you'll make more money in investing than you will by working. Now, you need to work at the beginning of your career to earn the money that you'll invest. But of course, part of it is to save the money that you earn. Once you're then into retirement, you can see that if you're retired for 40 years, you need $100,000 a year. That works out to be what? $4 million. You think you're going to make $4 million in salary? Of course, the other aspect of this is that I talked about in one show how an 8% return per year is so much better than a 7% return per year. The end result is quite surprising, actually, how much more money you would have if you just got 1% more per year in return on your investments. So we've got to pay attention. What's one way to pay attention? From show number one, the tool that I use to keep track of the two portfolios is the Excel stock quote plug-in tool. And what that does is it allows you to put into Microsoft Excel spreadsheet a ticker symbol for a stock, and then beside that, you can put in a live update of the latest price of that stock. And of course, then all the various calculations can go around that ticker symbol, giving you the percentage gain or loss of that stock over time. It's a great way to keep track of your investments if you don't have any other way of doing it, such as Microsoft Money or a website. Another way to keep track and pay attention is to look at the map of the market. From show number 10, we talked about the map of the market and the ETF map. These are sort of the eye dogs of investing. Pretty colors come up depending on which way the market is going for a particular time segment. And pay attention. Read the investment strategies for the 21st century from show number 9. It's from investorsolutions.com. It says it's the finest non-technical investment guide ever written, they claim. And then when it comes time to actually make an investment, how do you pick the stocks or the ETFs or the mutual funds that you want to buy? And the tool from show number 2 was the MSN Stock Screener. I think it's the best stock screener that's available on the web. It gives you the most options. You can search for stocks that meet different criteria. Say that you're interested in a high-yielding stock, or maybe you're interested in a small capitalization stock. Maybe you're interested in a stock from a certain industry segment. You can put those criteria in, and it will give you all of the results for those stocks. And then once you find those stocks, you can use the next tool from show number 3, the Edgar from Securities and Exchange Commission website that holds every publicly traded company's annual and quarterly reports and other important filings. That's part of doing the homework. And if you're looking to try to construct a balanced portfolio of exchange-traded funds, then the tool from show number 12, the Amerivest ETF Advisor, helps you spread your investment across a number of different sectors and segments of the portfolio, just like we have in the Portfolio Smackdown with the ETF portfolio there. And finally, diversification. Kramer said it's the free lunch. It's the only free lunch. We have two tools in the crib that help you look at diversification. The Morningstar Instant X-Ray from show number 7. It's a tool that helps you find out if your portfolio is diversified or not. And then the tool from show number 11, riskgrades.com, lets you figure out how risky your portfolio is compared to the S&P 500 and other benchmarks. And it gives you a risk grade over time. And the other thing I would say is be cheap. Find a broker that charges very low commissions and buy mutual funds or exchange-traded funds that have very low expenses. Because if you're investing for the long term, remember, the difference between the 8% gain and the 7% gain is so huge. Well, what if your mutual fund charges you 1% in expenses? That would effectively cut what would otherwise be an 8% return down to a 7% return. And they're going to get all that money instead of you. So that's all I wanted to cover today on this very strange, short, weird acapella recap version of the Mad Money Machine. I thrive your feedback. I really enjoy hearing from you via email. And if you register and try to win that bull, then you can make comments to the website. And that's a great way to give feedback, because that way everybody else can see it too. Maybe they can make comments on it as well. Let's start a little community about the Mad Money Machine. As promised, after this disclaimer, stay tuned to the show. The very last part of the show I'm going to play in its entirety, the theme to the tool in the crib, Theory in Motion's Money. This is Paul Douglas Boyer saying it takes money to make money, and it takes stock to make a mad money machine. You've been listening to Paul Douglas Boyer's Mad Money Machine. Some music played on this program was made possible by the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. Mad Money Machine is not affiliated with Jim Cramer, CNBC, Real Money, TheStreet.com, or anyone else, really. I may have long or short positions on some or all of the investments discussed on this show. Although the information discussed on this program is believed to be reliable, neither I nor the sponsors of this program make any representations or warranties whatsoever as to its accuracy or completeness. Nor do we assess, verify, or guarantee the suitability or profitability of any particular investment, and you should not rely solely upon this program for purposes of transacting securities or other investments. Opinions expressed by me and any of my guests are current opinions only and subject to change without notice. Thanks for listening. Join me again next time for more of Paul Douglas Boyer's Mad Money Machine.
Now give me money.